Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange. And we're really fortunate to have back with us today a very special person, Father Ethan Southern, who is a diocesan priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles at Our Lady of Perpetual Health in Santa Clarita. Welcome back to the show, Father.
Thank you so much, Deacon. It's great to be here.
And Katie Hughes, who is an evangelist in our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you so much.
And we're focused on young adults on this show, and the title of the show is Young Adults in the Church Today. Now, anyone who is involved in ministry, young adults is always top of mind. And the reason for that is because we know that our future is based upon young adult spirituality and adapting to the fullness of the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith. And yet it's a challenge getting the young adults on a routine basis to be involved in church for the most part. Now, again, many are actively involved. Many are on fire. Many are doing amazing things. But for many parishes, you look around and you see older people. You don't see that many young adults. Your thoughts, Father?
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think the world today is so diverse. There's so many opportunities. There's so many options. There's so many voices competing that could potentially drown out the voice of God. So for a young adult to grow up within this culture, there are so many distractions. It's so easy for the young adults to get caught up in the things of the world and to be misdirected. That's not to say that their heart isn't seeking, isn't longing for the truth. It's just to say that it's still looking for the truth and the place to rest. Now, as a church, I'm going to argue that we have a responsibility to create an openness, to create that space to receive the young adults. And part of that is surrendering. So we have to be comfortable enough within our own faith to surrender and to create that openness, that space of hospitality, that space of encounter where the young adults feel welcome and they feel like they have an opportunity to participate and be empowered to live their faith.
We have done, we've tried to do a lot with our ministry and in our church, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine. There's a tremendous young family group. Mm. We've had young adult retreats. We have a young adult prayer group. Mm. We're trying to do a number of different things. But in working with them, they often say, you know, the social part of it is really important, getting to know one another. And the reality is, and we're going to talk about the differences of young adults. You are a young adult, Father, right?
Yes.
And within that time frame, age, the number, which is basically primarily 18 to 39, but often 21 to 39, and most of the young adults that we work with are in their late 20s and 30s. They just think differently, you know, and it's important to understand the fact that for us to connect with them, we have to realize that they're not necessarily prioritizing the same way that older baby boomers and others are prioritizing.
That's right. We have to keep in mind that for the young adults, they're thinking about whether they're consciously thinking or they're just being driven by the need or the awareness of a vocation, of career, of family, who they're going to be, who their identity is. Now, a lot of times, you know, the older adults have already been established. They've already made those choices in their lives, and so now they're living them out. So the desires and the priorities for young adults is different. So they're looking for fellowship. They're looking for community. We are, as you said, I am a young adult. I'm 37. But ministering to those needs, to those desires, to those choices that are happening in young adults' lives are a priority. And ministering to them is something that as a church, we have a responsibility to do.
And yet, at the same time, many parishes are struggling in really connecting with them, in which the young adults are routinely showing up at Mass, are really on fire. And Katie, in your experience as a young adult, and I know you're right on the border right now, we won't say your age, but you obviously got really involved in the church and got on fire as a little bit older young adult, but in the beginning you didn't. What turned things around for you as a young adult to really start going to Mass routinely and embracing Christ?
You know, it was the surrender, realizing I didn't have the answers, hitting rock bottom in different areas in my life, and then that surrender and relying on Jesus, building a relationship with him through healing prayer, through going back to reconciliation, and of course receiving the sacraments. That is very powerful as far as for me. And then once you're caught on fire, God gives you that fuel with the sacraments, and you just want to serve him and you want to know him. And when you have that joy all the time in your heart because of that love, you never want to let it go. You never want to betray that relationship with Jesus.
You know, one of the things that is so important is just understanding that we all are searching, and yet so many times we don't seem to be able to communicate effectively in the young adult world in terms of how they think. They're often, like you say, you know, certainly they're career oriented, but they marry late. And sometimes the habits are already formed. I mean, in our generation, baby boomers, I was married at 21. Many of my peers were married very young. We had kids by the time we were in 23, 25 years old. We had kids and families. Many young adults don't get married, if they get married at all, until later. And so they're already formulating their priorities and so forth. How does that make a difference in terms of communication to them?
It does make things difficult. The world that we live in, it's becoming very secularized. And so the priorities of the world have shifted, whereas maybe family had been something that you were growing up, you grow up with, and then at some point you get married and you start your family and it just becomes a normal progression. That has shifted to much later. I think there's a certain degree of individualism and isolationism that is happening within the world and within the young adults specifically. So how to enter into that reality, I think Katie was touching on something very important. In her own life, there was an openness. There was a surrender. She hit rock bottom. So there was an openness to something new. And within that something new, she experienced Christ and his love and the truth and found healing through the sacraments. So as a church, I think we have a responsibility to be aware and to be prepared and looking for the people who have that opening, because they may not be necessarily be disposed and ready to receive Christ or are necessarily looking for Christ. They don't have the habit of coming to church on a regular basis. But when there is an opening in their life, we should be able to enter in and help to shepherd them back into the sacraments and a healthy faith life.
My brothers and sisters were with Father Ethan Southard, who is a young adult, a young priest of about, what, 6 months now?
About 6 months.
About 6 months. And Katie Hughes, who has been working diligently with young adult ministry here on Empowered by the Spirit. For me, I love to study and analyze, because that's got a little bit of my business background. I've been a sales executive and so forth, and you have to identify what the issues are, identify the problems or the challenges, and try to solve the challenges. One of the things I've noticed is that the young adults want to come back to a lot more structure than the baby boomers, that they love adoration, for example. They love, you know, some of the more traditional, more conservative approaches to our faith. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. For me, in my own experience, I encountered Christ in the Blessed Sacrament and his true presence, and it's so powerful. So I think for many of the young adults who are seeking the truth and have been lied to so many times by the world and let down and broken and wounded and hurt, to be able to come back to adoration and Christ is present with his true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity, they can feel intimately and deeply, feel the truth and feel the nourishment and the, the healing rays of Christ flowing through them. So that is so attractive. But then at the same time, when we have strayed, perhaps, and maybe we haven't been catechized and given the deep truths of the faith, there is a desire to want to learn and to, in a sense, to make up for lost time. Because once you've found the truth, you want to know the truth, you want to live the truth, and you, there's this insatiable hunger. And so, yes, I do think a lot of the young adults are coming back. When they come back to the church, they're really embracing the tradition and want to continue living that in such forms as adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, or coming even with the extraordinary form of the Mass. I know a lot of young adults find the beauty and the dignity and the rich tradition of the church within that expression of the Mass.
We're going to be right back to talk about how do you reach out to young adults that don't necessarily want to be reached out to, and how do we work together as one body in terms of connecting, community, and commitment. We'll be right back.
God, I'm running for your heart.
Join Bishop Kevin Pham and Catholics from throughout Southern California on December 11th at 1 p.m. for the second annual Catholic Hockey Night at the Honda Center. Purchase discounted tickets to watch the Ducks take on the Ottawa Senators. Stay after the game to cheer on Servite Catholic High School and Santa Margarita Catholic High School as they take to the ice for a special exhibition game. For tickets, go to nhl.com/ducks/tickets/Catholic Night or visit occatholic.com.
Hello, everyone. We're on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're here with Father Ethan Southard and with Katie Hughes, and we're talking about young adults in the church today. And if you are a young adult, please listen in, and certainly you can reach us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org as for any ideas that you have or your particular thoughts. But also, if you are a parent of a young adult and you're trying to figure out how can I get them more excited about the Mass, about returning to the church, about really participating, this show is exactly for you. And there's three C's that we're going to talk about. The first is, how do we connect with them? How do we communicate with them? How do we build community, or how do they build community? And then finally, how can they truly have a commitment to Christ and to the church? But first, the connecting. I personally believe, and this is a baby boomer talking now, is that I think the church applies many of the same methods that they've done with baby boomers without realizing that the young adult population, I mean, they think different. They communicate different. It's Facebook. It's Instagram. It's Snapchat. It's, you know, all the different Twitter. It's all the different social media. And if we don't do a better job communicating with them via social media, it makes it that much harder.
Absolutely. That goes back to the new evangelization. And Pope Benedict was reminding us, he says that the sacraments don't change, the love of Jesus doesn't change, the church doesn't change, but the expression and the methods in which we communicate the truths of the church, in which we facilitate an encounter with Jesus Christ, may change because our culture changes. As I mentioned earlier, we're living in a secularized culture. What normally in ages past, hundreds of years in the past, was a given that everyone was catechized and evangelized and brought up with the faith isn't necessarily the truth anymore. We're living in a world that is becoming increasingly materialistic and individualistic. And so the church, just within that culture, is looking for ways to enter into the young adults' lives. And one of the primary means now, as digital communication, digital media is continuing to expand through Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and so forth, the church needs to be present in that. Pope Benedict said it's a new continent. He says it's a new continent. Wow. You know, here we are. We're continued to be missionary disciples. We're going into this new continent and bringing the truth and the love of God.
You know, one of the things that I like to look at in Scripture, and we mentioned evangelization, which again, my brothers and sisters, means sharing good news. It means good news and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. is Paul's speech at the Acropolis. This is in Acts 17, starting at verse 22, where he stood up at the Acropolis and said, "You Athenians, I see that in every respect you are very religious. For as I walked around looking carefully at your shrines, I even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown God. What therefore you unknowingly worship, I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all that is in it, the Lord of heavens and earth, does not dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands because he needs anything. Rather, it is he who gives to everyone life, breath, and everything." And he goes on again to talk about Jesus. But isn't that clever as it relates to what he was doing? He wasn't saying, you know, you're all messed up and you're all wrong. He's saying, you just don't realize that you're already worshiping Jesus.
That's right. As you were reading that scripture, what came to mind is a good friend of mine, Mike Manhart, and he's been on the show before. A few weeks ago, the two of us had gone out. We went to a Bible service, and afterwards we encountered and connected with some young adults. And these guys are 18, 20, and 21 years old. The three of us went out to a late-night dinner at a diner, and these are the kings of digital media. One of them has a Facebook account, and he has 20 million followers on Facebook.
Wow.
20 million. The other one has 15 million on Instagram. And they are not living the gospel. They found this power. They found this outlet and a gift that they have to connect and enter into other young adults' lives. And they're making a ton of money, $500,000 a month. And so all of a sudden you have this young adult who's making a ton of money and has a lot of power and is reaching and influencing many people. And they're doing it not necessarily in the most holy of ways. Now, Mike's method is he's entering into their reality, starting with conversation, connecting with them, finding some way to find a commonality. And it's in that commonality of listening first, of listening, finding out, well, what is it that you desire? What makes you happy? What are you seeking in life? And then bringing the gospel undercover almost, as Paul was talking about, you know, this is the temple to the unknown God. Well, let me tell you who the God is. His name is Jesus Christ. We come in with the love and with the truth, and slowly we start to evangelize. So maybe someone has an idol of money, or maybe it's of power or influence. Whatever those other idols that we have, they will not last.
It's so important, my brothers and sisters, to understand that we have to reach people where they're at. And Katie, social media has been such an important part of where young adults are at. And for example, one of the things that you said to me recently is, okay, we're on Twitter and we're on Facebook, but we're not on Instagram. And so I get on Instagram with your help, and all of a sudden I find there's all these young adults on Instagram. Of course, which probably means they'll be leaving it soon because I'm on it. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I put my little hearts, I still don't understand it totally, but, you know, but at the end of the day, I realize that I'm connecting with them by being on Instagram or being on Twitter or being on Facebook. Your thoughts on that, Katie?
Yes, these avenues of the social media allow us to have power, and there's so much going on that's against what we believe as Christians, as Catholics. But it's important that we bring the truth in the way that they're receiving the lies, because if we can combat it with the truth reigns. Jesus Christ reigns. We give them the imagery. We give them the words. We give them the truth. We give them the love. We give them the attention, what they're craving, and replace those deities, that utilitarianism, that you are as much as a dollar. You're worth what you produce. Mm. And we exchange that. You are worth everything because Jesus died for you.
I know when I go on Facebook and I see someone post something that makes me think about Christ, about the Blessed Mother, about the sacraments, about hope, about various things. It certainly has an impact on me, you know, and I want to share it with other people. And it really, I mean, social media, my brothers and sisters listening in, I know many of you are saying, well, I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on Facebook, I'm not on Instagram. I'm not trying to sell their services, but what I am saying to you is that you've got to go with where your children are or where the young adults are to be relevant in a sense and to be able to really communicate with them on their ground.
Yeah, if we're not communicating, if we're not connecting with the young adults where they are, we can't expect that they're going to come back and seek where we are. They're moving forward into new avenues, into new locations. And if we're not continuing to connect and move with them, then we're going to lose them. That's a fact. And I really think, once again, it's the spirit. It's the spirit of openness and of encounter. You know, just think about a dad asking his son, okay, son, you know, what kind of music are you listening to? You know, let's listen to the song together. You know, let me find out what excites you. Let me find out, you know, who you are. That's what it is. Let me find out who you are and let's journey together. Going to the movies. Let's go watch a movie. It's entering into another's life. And the young adults so want to share that. Mm-hmm. They want to be heard. They want to share who they are. Mm-hmm. It's just, we have a big responsibility. Are we open and are we willing to receive that? You know, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube or, you know, whatever.
One of the things you mentioned is the young adult music. It's different.
Mm.
It's different as it relates to emphasis and style. And your thoughts on the differences that you see in the young adult music?
A few years ago, I went with my grandfather. He took a trip up to San Francisco. And he had lived in San Francisco during World War II. And so we put the music from the 40s on. And it was so cool. It was on, you know, on the satellite radio. So cool. As we're driving around the city and you see him light up and all these memories are just starting to come to him. And then I'm thinking of, you know, the music my parents listened to in the 70s or the 80s and the theme and yeah, going back to the music of today. And it's so fast. There's such a beat, you know, the language and the way that it's being communicated. It's different. But it doesn't have to necessarily scare us. We have an opportunity to learn. And I think that's, Katie, you said earlier, you know, young at heart. Mm-hmm. I think we can all continue to be young at heart if we have an open heart. And if we have an open heart, then we get to the heart of the heart, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is what connects us. And so if we're connected and we're united in Christ, then everything else, you know, starts to melt away and it just becomes an opportunity for discovery.
So in order to connect with young adults, we have to really be in their turf.
Mm.
Social media, the way we communicate, the way we listen to music, the music that we play, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the reality is that we as baby boomers were quite a bit different than our parents were mm-hmm. that lived through the Depression and so forth. And our music was different. At the time, we said, we have the answer. Where our young adults believe that they have the answer versus what their parents have done. And so the reality is, let's be open to the Holy Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about building community and commitment. This is Deacon Steve Greco and I'm Powered by the Spirit. Back here on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange with Father Ethan Southard and Katie Hughes. And we've been talking about young adults in the church today. And we started out by talking about how we communicate, how we connect via social media, music, different types of communication is really important. One of the things that we would ask of you is to give us your ideas and your thoughts. And you can reach us and Deacon Steve at spiritfilledhearts.org. And Katie, in terms of Facebook and Twitter and so forth, give us the information.
Sure. You can reach and check out all of our activities and the postings that we have and our YouTubes. On youtube.com, it's spiritfilledhearts. With Facebook, it's Spirit-Filled Hearts. And if you're on Twitter, it's Spirit Hearts 1. And then also on Instagram. so we're trying to get everywhere everyone is, because we just want to share the good news, whatever age you are.
And if you have ideas on what we can do better and what we can talk about on this show, please let us know, because we are committed to make a difference and build the body of Christ. And you can't get there without young adults. They're our future, and it's so critical that we really communicate with them in a way to get them excited about Jesus. Now, connecting with them is really critical, but they are all about community, too. They love to hang out with each other. And tell us about that.
Well, I think they're all about community because at the heart, we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so the essence of God is community. It's who God is. He's Father, Son, and Spirit. There's a relationality that's intrinsic to who God is. And so that's in our DNA. That's the blueprint of who we are. We're made for each other. And ultimately, if we live that out in the way that Christ teaches us to live, it's by making a gift of ourselves. It's the self-gift. The Father completely gave himself to his Son. The Son received that gift and completely gave himself back to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is generated forth from that gift. So it's who we are, and as young adults, we have that energy and that desire to connect and to build community. And so that ultimately, that spirit, that love is what compels, is what drives a man forth to pursue his wife and to build that family and to have, you know, to have children. And as we're growing into that desire, we have desire for friendships, for relationships, and to connect with others who share the same values and ideas and hopes and dreams of life.
In Acts 2, verse 46, it says, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area, to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation, sincerity of heart, praising God, enjoying favor with all the people, and every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. It was building this great community of loving one another. Chapter 4 talks about they were one heart and one mind. That's what I see happening with young adults, is that they come together, they care about each other, they want to be with each other, they want to talk in the way that they communicate with one another on their terms, listen to music with one another. Katie, being part of a young adult community is essential in terms of building faith and having them, in a sense, evangelize, communicate with one another as part of a community.
Yes, in a young adult community, we're able to share of ourselves, build a relationship with each other, and also share the love of Christ. In listening to one another, in expressing our feelings, our hopes, our dreams, our sufferings, and encountering Christ in conversation by welcoming him and loving each other, because love is God. God is love. So if we're loving one another and listening and being compassionate and caring, well, then that's Christ. We're evangelizing, and we're communicating, and we're loving one another, and the Holy Spirit's there. And with that, it's a clear line of communication if we trust. So if we build this trust on listening and loving, lives are changed.
As a baby boomer, we approached the world so differently. We dated early. We dated one person. Or certainly, you know, we moved from relationship to relationship, but it was basically one at a time. We very rarely went out in groups. I mean, it was a double date occasionally. But the young adults, the way that they think, they travel in packs. Mm. They travel in groups. And that lends itself really towards building of community, just the way they really approach the world. At least coming from the outside looking in, that's kind of my impression. Your thoughts on that?
Like we shared earlier, we all have that desire for that community. And the young adults today have the opportunity to connect, whether it's through social media. It's very rare that you'll see a young adult, and even adults now, who don't have a phone in their hand and aren't instantly connected with Facebook or Instagram or sending a text message, or just there's that desire to share. It's the desire to share something new. Oh, I just saw this movie. Oh, I just went to this restaurant. You know, there's social apps like Yelp and other things where everybody wants to share their experience and to know that you're part of a community that will receive that. It, again, that touches to the heart of the longing that we have, which is to be wanted, which is to belong, which is to be loved, which ultimately only Christ can fill. Now, in my own experience, I had a reversion in my faith. I came back to Christ, and initially it was an individual movement. Christ had to bring me into relationship, bring me back into community with his Father and his Spirit. And he did it in such a beautiful, loving way. But then I noticed that little by little, he started to introduce his friends. And in fact, that was my prayer. I prayed, Jesus, introduce me to your friends, the ones who love you, who know you, who are committed to you, because I want to be connected with those people, because the faith, my faith was the most important thing in my life. And so from that point, little by little, more people started to come around. And like Katie shared, it was just a beautiful opportunity to come together, to share faith, and to be inspired by others who are sharing their faith. And it's just a really wonderful life and community.
Again, being part of a community is a part of belonging. And so many of the young adults, again, want to connect with people. But as you said, Father, it's very important that they choose the right people to connect with.
Mm.
As you look at Ignatian spirituality, the concept of desolation or consolation, is your activities in a group and in what you're doing bring you closer to Christ, consolation, or moving away from Christ, desolation?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to choose our friends in our community that are going to build us up,
yes,
not tear us down, not get us into drugs or immorality or into areas that really are moving us away from Christ.
Absolutely. And then there's still that desire for creativity. There's that desire. There's that energy for building. And so what I propose, and what Pope Francis has proposed, he's again encouraging us to build the culture of encounter, to build the culture of love. He's encouraging the youth, the young adult people to go out and make a mess, to take that energy to create and to build and just go out, do it. You know, this is the time for young adults. It isn't necessarily the future. Yes, they are the future of the church, but the future is now. They're part of the church now. And so as a church, we have an opportunity to give them the space to go and do that. And so with the culture, I think especially moving as a community, we have such an opportunity, the young adults do, to go out into places that the adults can't go, whether it's the social media and knowing the nuances of the social media, or going into the other community, which may not necessarily be part of the church, but they are the evangelizers. So they're commissioned to go out into the rest of the world. And if they're doing it as a community, and others who are away from the church see that and encounter the love and the joy and the Spirit, that becomes so attractive. And all of a sudden people start to ask the question, well, what is it they have that I don't have? I want to be part of that community. I want to be part of that group. And little by little, you know, the gospel is spread throughout the world.
I have a message to the young adult community out there listening in here, and that is, make a difference with the whole church. Do not assume that the rest of the church will not listen to you or adapt your viewpoints, your methods, your type of communication, your type of music. Speaking on behalf of the older generation and baby boomers and so forth, we know that things have changed and we have to adapt. I think often young adults keep to themselves. And they go, well, we know that, you know, we can't communicate or connect with the older generation, so we're just going to do it our way in our group. But we need to evangelize and change the church from within.
Yes.
And we need the young adults to be that spirit, that catalyst to help do it. I'm passionate about that and believing that.
Yes. If the young adults don't embrace that opportunity and that power, then the church is losing. The church is shrinking. The church is dying. So the young adults do have such a beautiful opportunity. And you mentioned earlier about the music. You say, oh, well, we have the best music, where we have what's right. You know, our way is the right way. Well, yes, and yes, and yes. All generations have different gifts, and the giftedness of the youth and the young adults of today is needed, and there is a place for you. And our responsibility as the older generation is to help facilitate that and to encourage it, to build it up so that the church will continue to grow.
And it's so important when you mention that to listen to one another and to understand, as we all know, the young adults are the future. We're going to be right back to talk about young adult commitment and what can we do to work with them. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're talking about young adults in the church today with Father Ethan Southern, who is a young adult, who's only, I say only, but been a priest for about 6 months, and Katie Hughes, that works with young adults, and right on the border there of young adult land.
I will always be young at heart, though.
Yeah, right, yeah. But what is so important, again, is be able to connect with the young adults. We talked about that connectivity and communication, helping them build community, embracing their community. And this segment is on commitment. And commitment can mean a lot of different things. Your thoughts on that, Father?
Sure. Commitment, first and foremost, to Christ. Young adults making a commitment to Christ. And it's Christ's commitment to us. Christ has made a commitment to each of us. From the moment we were born, from the moment that we were conceived, from the moment he envisioned us, the Father envisioned us in his mind, he had made a commitment to us. And he's faithful because that's who he is. And we, in turn, after having received that love, can offer up our own faith, our own love to him through our commitment to him and his church by continuing to live out a sacramental life, by going to Mass every Sunday, to be filled up and nourished with the word of God, with the sacraments, with the love, making a commitment to each other through community, continuing to make that commitment, you know, day after day, week after week, calling each other up. Hey, how are you? How is your life? Making that commitment when our brother or sister is struggling. No, I'll be there. I'll be there to support you and encourage you through this dark time. And then making a commitment to the rest of the church, making a commitment to those who have been there before, and making a commitment to the world. So at the heart of it all is commitment. It comes from Christ's commitment to us.
Amen. It's making a decision because Christ has chosen us and is calling to us.
Yes.
To follow him. Again, in John 15:16, it's not you who called me, but I who called you. Jesus says, and appointed you to bear fruit that will remain, that whatever you ask of my Father, I may give you. So he is calling to us to make that commitment. Katie, commitment happens in a lot of different ways in the church and with young adults. Your viewpoints on that?
Yes, I'm just envisioning the relationship between the parents, the priests, and the relationship with the young adults. And you're wanting for them to be in union in our church with Jesus. And I envision that the young adults, just think of them in the womb. Think of them when God knit them in the womb. And within the mother, and the mother has to take care. She has to nourish her body. She has to provide for this child who's unborn. And these young adults, they absorb everything that you do. So the authenticity is realized. And when they see that commitment that you've made to the Lord and consistent with the faith, the sacraments, loving their children no matter what, but they receive all of that, the good and the bad. So the more good that you shower upon your children in that womb, in that relationship with Christ, great fruit will be filled.
Now you look at your family and you look at your mother and father, the commitment that they had to the church and mm-hmm. your father's conversion and so forth mm-hmm. had a huge impact on you, correct?
Yes, I realize you cannot live in two worlds. you have to be an authentic Catholic and love him and serve him and to not waver through the challenges and the sufferings. Despite what your children may do, you stay on the road. Do not fall in the pitfalls of worry.
So that's so important to those that have young adult children. Live out your faith, and that faith will make a difference. You say, well, I am, but they still don't go to church. They're still not involved. But I guarantee you, maybe if they have children later on or they have a different type of commitment in their life that happens, things change. And as process of that changing, they will reflect back to, okay, what did my parents do when they had rough times? Or they turned to Christ. They went to Mass. And it makes a huge difference. I think when you've talked about catechesis earlier, Father, in working with young adult families, young adult groups, I have found that the lack of catechesis, the lack of understanding their faith, is one of the most important aspects that we need to address. Mm-hmm. Because we all, as adults, children, whatever it might be, we need to understand what do we believe in and why. I think this is an important part of being a committed Catholic, regardless of whether you're young adults. But so many young adults, they need to get involved in Bible studies. They need to get involved in learning about their faith. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. We have a responsibility to continue growing. So if we've received this beautiful gift from God, the gift of faith, we have to nourish that and help that faith to grow. And we do that through studying the Bible, through learning about the teachings of the church, helping to properly form our consciences. And we do that through the beautiful gift that the church has given us with so many different teachings. Get involved. Help to teach confirmation. Be part of the RCIA team. If you haven't received your confirmation, go back, receive your confirmation, and let those gifts through the sacraments be nourished and continue to grow. But we do have a responsibility. Read the lives of the saints. They're going to continue to inspire us. So the life of conversion, we're called to conversion every day, and we must strengthen that and nourish that through proper catechesis. But also, I'm going to say that we make a commitment, and this is part of our catechesis. It's through, as Pope Francis has said, not being a church of the center, being a church of the periphery. We get out of our comfort zone, and sin happens when we turn in on ourselves, when we start gazing at our navel. We start to collapse in on ourselves. Just like you were mentioning, a mother, you know, comes back to her faith, or she wants to give the faith to her child. She gave life to her child. We become a gift for others. As a church, as young adults, when we make ourselves gifts to others, to those on the outside, that's when we're living, when we're truly living our faith. And if we've been properly catechized, we can share that faith in articulate ways to those who maybe never have known.
Well, it's so important, my brothers and sisters, to understand that faith is a journey. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And for us to live out our faith means that every single day we ask ourselves the questions, is Jesus King of my life? Is Jesus Lord of my life? As young adults, my challenge to you is, where is Jesus in your prioritization? Because one of the things I hear an awful lot is they're saying, well, I'm just so busy. You know, I'm so busy with my career. I'm so busy. I work out 3 days a week or 5 days a week. I, you know, do this with the kids, or I hike. I do all great things. But they seemingly don't have time for Jesus. Mm. And we have to make Jesus number one.
There's a saying, oh, Lord, you are the center of my life. The center of my life. There's a reductionism that can happen. There's a temptation to control Jesus, to put Jesus in a certain box within our lives. When we fail to remember, fail to realize that, no, we're the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We're moving with him. It's his life. He has given us his life, so we have the invitation, we have the beautiful gift to continue moving with that life, and that means total surrender. We make ourselves, Jesus has totally given himself to us, and so in response, we can totally give ourselves to him, and so that comes back to prioritizing. Where is Christ in our lives? Is he the Alpha and the Omega? Do we ask him, Lord, what do you want from me today, at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, do we reflect, Lord, how was my day?
So my brothers and sisters, whether you're a young adult or not, as you're listening in here, you're listening in for a reason, that God, the Holy Spirit, has led you to this show so that you can ask yourself, is Jesus King? Is Jesus Lord of my life?
Just to finish up, I know we're going to be winding up soon, and I just want to say, you know, this Eucharistic procession, Hollywood Beloved, if anyone is interested in forming communities of action, of forming intentional communities, of continuing to live this life and reaching out to those who maybe never have heard, we have the opportunity to do that. And Pope Francis is encouraging us. He's saying, get out of the cave. So I'd like to make an invitation. If there's any young adults out there, look up outofyourcaves.com. You could look it up on Facebook. It's facebook.com/outofyourcaves and outofyourcaves.com. It's a great way to stay connected. And I encourage the rest of the church to continue supporting the initiatives of the young adults. If they are inspired to do something like this, contribute, help to be a part of that, help to build that culture of encounter and the culture of love.
Father, it's been wonderful having you on the show again. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
And Katie, thanks again.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you, worship you, and glorify you. Send forth your Holy Spirit with a new Pentecost upon us, with tongues of fire, to just fill us with your love and fill us with your zeal, to bless all young adults, their families, to bless all of us listening, that we may understand how much we're loved by you, that we may feel your forgiveness, your mercy, that we may be filled by your love. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In Jesus' name, I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.